Acting with an Accent, Stage Dialect Instruction by David Allen Stern, the Midwestern Farm Ranch Dialect. This is called Midwestern Farm Ranch Dialect pretty much for want of a better word. We're talking about the rural sounds in a huge stretch of this country. We're talking about an area that starts perhaps in the western part of Ohio, stretches all the way through Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, eastern Colorado, and the states north and south of there, as well as some of the more rural areas up in the almost northwest and almost southwest areas. Obviously, the dialects are not the same everywhere you're going to go in this belt, but they're definitely more similar than they are different. Also, you're going to find that the dialect pattern in the cities, especially the larger, more cosmopolitan cities, is not going to be as rural or as farmified, if you want to call it that, as it's going to be in the actual rural areas or out on farms. Now, in addition to there being a lot of different regions, there's also obviously different degrees of thickness of this accent. And as we go on through the tape, we're going to demonstrate different degrees of that. Perhaps the most important preliminary comment that I can make here is to tell you that there is a rather significant difference between southern accents and this Midwestern farm ranch pattern. It's real important that you make this distinction. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't farms in southern and mountain southern regions which sound more southern than this. It's sort of a combination of the farm and the southern sound. The point is, though, that frequently as an actor, you're going to be asked to do a Midwestern sound or a farm sound or a cowboy sound, and there are going to be some directors who are very picky and very insistent about the fact that they don't want it to sound southern. That's when you're going to have to start making this real clear distinction. I'm going to give you right now just a kind of an overview of what the difference is. And as we go on through the training tape and the specific lessons, I'll continue pointing out along the way differences between southern, per se, and this Midwestern sound. For one, even though in the South the lilt differs in its size from place to place, there are some places where the lilt's real heavy, 1, 2, 3, 4, and there are places where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's still bouncing around. In the Midwestern farm belt, you really don't have that inner vowel lilt. I, 1, 2. It's not really there. Now, as you get close to the imaginary borders between South and Farm Belt, or South and Midwest, for want of a better word, you're going to have areas where the difference is not quite so clear. For example, as you get down into southern part of Kansas, around Arkansas City, for example, you get close enough to Oklahoma where you start sounding a little bit southern down there. And as you get into parts of Missouri bordering on the Ozark Mountains down in the Springfield area, it's going to start to get some of the southernisms back in it. But the point is, if you're asked for a clear-cut distinction, you want to know that that lilt is not there in the farm dialect, and it is there in the southern or mountain southern dialects. Now, one of the major issues that we talk about in this dialect series is called resonance or tone focus, and the Midwestern farm ranch dialect is similar to certain areas of the South in what very soon we're going to be calling the palatal or the pseudo-nasal dialect placement or resonance placement. Certain pronunciations are similar, but there are certain pronunciations that are distinctly different, especially in terms of a few of the vowels, and this is something else that we're going to have to point out very, very specifically, as we go along. Okay, enough of this preliminary stuff here. Let's get going with lesson one, creating the resonance of the Midwestern farm ranch dialect. In my approach to accent and dialect instruction, one of the things we do before we consider the specific changes in pronunciation is to look at changes that take place in the overall quality or resonance or tone focus of the voice. Changes in what I sometimes call the imaginary point of focus, that spot in or around the mouth, nose, in or around that whole resonance tube or resonance cavity, where you feel or sense the greatest amount of vibration being reinforced. Now, in the standard American or non-regional dialect, which I just switched to, I place that imaginary point of maximum vibration or that point of tone focus approximately in the center of the oral cavity. This would be for well-articulated, well-spoken non-regional speech. The spot where I imagine the most of the vibration focusing is that midpoint, the place about halfway between the palate and tongue, and where if you were to put one finger from each hand into the hollows of your cheeks, press them into the hollows of the cheeks toward the center of the mouth, that spot where the fingers would come together if your cheeks were flexible enough to let them meet. But in the Midwestern dialect, or the farm ranch dialect, we have something happening which is similar to the resonance of a lot of the parts of the South and a lot of Texas. The point of resonance moves up and back. It's not in the nose, per se. It's not really a nasal sound coming through the nose. When you have a real nasality, the actual airflow passes through the nose. You can hear me do 2, 3, 4. I'm holding my nose. 2, 3, 4, 5. And you can hear the sound. 2, 3, 4. It goes into the nose, and because I'm holding the nose in the front, it doesn't come out. But if I do it in the farm dialect, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was still holding my nose, but there was no air going into it, so it didn't sound like that stopped up kind of sound. Now, there are certain exercises that we can do for focusing the sound on that soft palate. It's a point which is up right on the softest part of the palate in the back, right near the spot where the soft palate starts to meet the uvula. That's the that flap of flesh that hangs down the back of the throat. Now, it's that spot, which is very near to the opening of the nose, that makes it seem like the sound is being a little nasal, even though it really isn't. Now, there may be a little bit of extra air that puffs through the nose occasionally after an M or an N or an ING, but mostly it's not nasal. It's just that kind of a, some people would call it a kind of a twang or a whine that happens up there. Okay, let's look at the different exercises. The first thing we're going to do is first to kind of just use a conceptual shifting, an imaging or an imaginary shift in the way you're visualizing that point of focus. I want you to count 1, 2, 3 in your very own non-regional dialect. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and sort of visualize the center of the vibration being in the middle of the mouth. Then repeat again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and see if you can get a visual image of the energy or the vibration moving away from the middle of the mouth, back and up to that point on the palate there. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6. Don't change pronunciations, just change that overall quality of the voice by trying to visualize and imagine. Now, as that point shifts in your mind's eye, see if you can also shift the feeling, the tissue sensation. See if you can get it to the point where you're feeling vibration on the sides of your cheeks and in the back of the mouth and the center of the mouth when it's open, and then you kind of feel it moving up to that soft palate and kind of feel that whine on the soft palate way up in the back there. Then it goes forward again. Try it. Visualize and feel. 1, 2, 3 in the middle. 1, 2, 3 on the back of the soft palate. 4, 5, 6 in the middle. 4, 5, 6 on the soft palate. 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, now we're going to have to start making some specific changes in the muscularity of the mouth. We're going to have to do something real specific with the muscles and with the movement. Now, for one thing, when you're feeling that central cavity focus of the non-regional dialect, you have to have your mouth open to a fair degree. But if you close your mouth up, put considerably less space between the teeth, and close the lips a little bit in the corners, and feel most of the movement of the mouth opening taking place in the middle two-thirds of the lips, that's going to aid you considerably in closing off the part of the cavity that would normally resonate the sound in the middle of the mouth. As the teeth close, as the corners of the lips close, as the middle of the lips start to do most of the work, you're going to start to do that shift in the vibration. Now, do this muscular change at the same time that you continue to visualize and try to feel the difference. 1, 2, 3, teeth open and lips open. 1, 2, 3, the molars closer to each other, the uppers and lowers closer to each other, and the corners close a little bit. Don't pinch and tighten the corners. Just kind of hold them there and let the middle of the lips do the work. 4, 5, 6, open. 4, 5, 6, closed. 7, 8, 9, open. 7, 8, 9, closed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, be careful that you don't push the lips forward. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 8, and ooh, and all of these sounds where the lips get pushed way forward and it starts to get much more of a southern or a Texas sound, which you don't really want to integrate into these other characteristics here. Remember, again, we're trying to avoid the sense of southernism here. Now, at the same time that the mouth is closed, you're going to realize that the back of your tongue starts to hump up a little bit in the back, that the back of the tongue doesn't move as much, that the back of the tongue's kind of higher up toward the palate, forcing that vibration to hit on the back of the palate. And as the back of the tongue is up, because the mouth is closed more, it's the tip of the tongue that has to do most of the moving. So it's the middle of the lips and the tip of the tongue. So open, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Closed and visualize and feel and corners of the mouth closed and tongue higher and tongue tip moving. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Open. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Closed. Tongue up high and back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And keep working again each time to add this new muscular concept to the one that you've already done before. So you visualize, you feel, you close the mouth, you close the lips, you increase the height of the back of the tongue, you increase the movement of the tip of the tongue. Now, I lied a minute ago when I said that there wasn't any real nasality in the Farm Belt. There are parts of the Farm Belt that really will get a little bit of assimilated nasality into it. Iowa certainly has a very characteristic sound which has more nasality than the rest of the Farm Belt. There are parts of Nebraska, certainly. There are other parts of the more northwestern areas, when you get up into Montana and such, where you're really going to start hearing some nasalities in certain sections of those states. Now, what I want to do, because nasality is related to what we're doing here, even though it's not an absolutely necessary part, is I want to do an exercise where you actually put a lot of the air out through your nose and then take away from that, but still keep that focus on the palate. So let's start by having you close your lips in front and literally talk through the nose. I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm talking through my nose. Now start actually talking, but let a lot of that air come out through the nose. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Don't make it too silly. The 1, 2, 3, but just... you let a little come out through the nose. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now a little less. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now a little less. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But still keeping that vibration up on the soft palate, not all that far away from the opening of the throat where it divides into both the mouth and the nasal passage. Now, again, the degrees differ tremendously, and as we get to the end of the tape, we'll practice a little bit of a real heavy, whiny sort of palatal resonance with a lot of nasality coming through it, and then pulling back also to the point where you might just have that little tinge of palatal resonance without a lot of nasality and without a lot of whiny sense coming in to that feature, to make that feature a very harsh one. It differs enormously from place to place and from character to character. I suggest that you go back and re-practice this lesson several times before going on, but for right now, this is the end of the lesson on Midwestern Farm Ranch Resonance.